study this evening. And you can see that I'm calling it extracts from Ezekiel. And you know, I was in Lisburn the other day, and I met a very dear old brethren brother, an old tight brethren brother, just for the benefit of you slack ones that are here. And he said to me, "What's the big idea about the extracts from Ezekiel?" I would have thought, if the Spirit inspired the prophet Ezekiel to write this book, that God would have demanded you to look at the whole book. And I said, "Of course, I'm in perfect agreement with you. I think the Spirit is teaching us to study, and I mean every word, and every phrase, and every verse, every chapter, and there are 48 chapters. And I assure you, brother, I know all that's in all of them." But I said that when our Lord Jesus was wrestling with the devil, the tempter, in the wilderness, he just extracted 3 little bits from the book of Deuteronomy to win the battle. And I'll guarantee you now, brother, you don't know where they are. You know where they are? Yes, when our Lord Jesus was going down the road to Emmaus, and he joined himself to these 2 downcast, defeated, sad disciples who seemed to be turning away from the upper room, and they're going home. Beginning at Moses, first 5 books of the Bible, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Just extracted out the things concerning himself. When our Lord was talking to the Pharisees about his coming to take over the kingdom again, I'm not talking about his coming to the air. I'm talking about his coming to the earth to take over the throne of his father David. When he was talking to the Pharisees, he went to Genesis chapter 6 and they said, "As it was in the days of Noah." And then he skipped a lot of chapters and he went to chapter 19 and said, "As it was in the days of Lot." Oh, my master extracted what he wanted for what he wanted when he wanted. And the example is a good one. For I have that example. And that divine example is good enough for me to follow. But there's a little bit more to this than that. You see, as a leader of a class like this, I don't only need a divine example, I need at times and all times divine wisdom. See, this mighty book of the prophet Ezekiel, there are 48 chapters here. And the most of them prophecy. And the most of the prophecies that he prophesied were fulfilled before he died. And the history now. Yes. And I don't think that I should take the time just now. Yes, I think it's just 48 weeks would be too long if I even took a chapter every week. You see, if you study right through this wonderful prophecy, and I say wonderful, you will find that he prophesied against Jerusalem, and it came to pass as he prophesied, which shows us the wonder of the prophets. And he prophesied against the Ammonites and the Moabites and the Edomites and the Philistines. And there's a wonderful chapter where he prophesies against Tyre. You remember me preaching this in the Gospel, where he drew the picture of the old ancient city of Tyre like a ship at sea. Wonderful ship. But its roars had brought it into deep waters. And of course all that was fulfilled even before Ezekiel died. But you will also find this, that he prophesied in this book against Egypt and against Russia. And these prophecies are not fulfilled yet. But just as surely as the others were fulfilled, these shall be fulfilled. And we're coming near the fulfillment. So we're going to expect these bits. And they will be very profitable because they will be up to date. We're going to learn a lot about Egypt's past. And then he said a lot about Egypt's present, and I mean present today. And then he said a lot about Egypt's future. He said a lot about the rascality of Russia. What a wonderful chapter there is about the restoration of Israel in this book, this valley of dry bones. And the nation becoming a nation once again in the land that was given to the farmers. And the prophecy about the coronation of Christ in the land. So I'm expecting those sorts of things. And I think they will be of great benefit to us. So you see my reasons, don't you? For using extracts, maybe that will close the mouth of the critics. The Master did it, and I think it's a wise thing for us in such a mighty prophecy to take the bits that are right before us right now, working around us in the very nation. Now, I want to say a word or two about Ezekiel himself. A sort of introduction tonight, but nevertheless it's very valuable to get the foundations laid. This word Ezekiel, this name Ezekiel is a very wonderful name. You'll notice that it ends with E-L. And all these old Hebrew names ending with E-L, oh what a meaning they have. You remember Emmanuel, which simply means God with us. And of course you remember Bethel, which means the house of God. You remember Rachel, and we have a lady called Rachel in the meeting this evening. And the word Rachel means Lamb of God. What a wonderful name to carry about with you. You know about Daniel, don't you? Word Dan means judge. And the E-L at the end means God is my judge. You know about Samuel, asked of God. You know about Joel, don't you? Means Jehovah is God. And Ezekiel means God is my strength. It's a very wonderful name, and you're going to find that he had to live up to it too. God had to be his strength. And so we're at the first chapter. And we're reading at verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, I want you to get this bit, the priest. I want you to get that now, because that's very important. I want you to see two things here. I want you to see that this man, Ezekiel, he came from the priestly family in Israel. You'll find out that it says, Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzar. Wanted to get that. Because if you trace that word, you'll come to Zadok, the priest, and he came from that family. Let's get this quite clear just now, that this fella, Ezekiel, whose name means God is my strength, that he was a priest. Want you to get that. Secondly, because he's down at the river Kibar, among the captives, he is not only a priest, but he is a prisoner. You know where Kibar is? Do you know where it is? Well, if you get the map down when you go home and you find the Persian Gulf, you can easily do that, I think. And if you come right up to where the Gulf comes close to the land and ends, then if you go northwest, you come to Ur of the Chaldees. You'll see it marked. If you go a bit further north, you'll find a mark giving you the old ancient ruins of the city of Babylon. And you'll find between Ur of the Chaldees and the old ruined city of Babylon, you will find this river of Kibar. Now, this is where he was a prisoner. I want you to get the whole of that, because that's very important. Now, go to chapter 2 in this book for a moment, so you see. Verse 2, just saving time. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet. You get that word, because it's changed from priest now. You see, it was while he was a captive down there that God singled him out, made him stand upon his feet, and God is sending him to these captives in the land of Babylon, down at the river Kibar. Now, I believe by reading all the old ancient history that I can get my hands on, that there was a little colony of captives there, down at a place nearby to Kibar, the river. We'll come to it in a moment. Actually, I believe it could be called a concentration camp. I don't want you to think it was a concentration camp like Hitler's. I think that these priests and princes and many nobles from Israel had been taken captive and taken down, and they're put into this colony or this concentration camp, and there they were. And now this priest is being ordained a prophet, and God is sending him to this people, whether they will hear or whether they will not hear. Have a look at chapter 3 just for a moment. Verse 15, he's responding now to what's been said to him. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib, that dwelt by the river of Kibar. If you find Ur of the Chaldees and Babylon, and find the river Kibar in between, you'll find this old ancient town, I think it would be right to say, of Tel Abib. And it was round here that these captives, this concentration camp or camps of captives, were being held. And this is where he came to. And I think this is a nice little bit. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib, that dwelt by the river of Kibar, and I sat where they sat. I think, you know, you're never going to do any good for God until you sit where they sit. Sometimes, you know, young folks come to me in the secret place and cry and tell me things that has happened, things that distress them, things that put them nearly round the bend. And then I've got to sit down and tell them that when I was their age, I did the same. But I don't think there's any difference between any. And I don't think this holier-than-thou attitude gets you anywhere. And I've helped hundreds of young ones by just sitting where they sat. And I think if you're going to be any good at all, you'll have to get there somehow. Sure, the Lord will get you there. I want to state something here. Let's go away to Ezekiel 33, because we're just laying the foundations this evening, and we'll have to take the time to lay the foundations. Ezekiel 33. Verse 21. And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month, that one that had escaped out of Jerusalem came unto me, saying, the city is smitten. Well, that tells us something. That tells us that Ezekiel, the priest who became a prophet, who is with the captives by the river of Kibar, who hath already been there 11 years, that he was 11 years a captive before Jerusalem was smitten at all. I want you to get that. Let me tell you that when the 11 years had passed, of course, and Nebuchadnezzar had gone back and routed the city, on the second term, he brought Daniel. And a lot more, of course. Because I want you to get the whole of this. That Daniel and Ezekiel were in Babylon at the same time. After the 11 years, of course. This is where we're going to lay the foundations that will do you good. You see, this man has a mighty problem as he sits with these captives by the river of Kibar. Yes, the city is smitten now, and there are more princes and more priests coming down. But there was a problem here, just at this very spot. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 13 for a moment. This is an old book, you know, that I'm afraid hasn't been opened up properly and maybe has not been dealt with wisely. Ezekiel chapter 13. Here is God talking to Ezekiel, and he's saying to him, "Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of my people." Now, the daughters of my people. These were daughters of Israel, down at the captivity. Verse 17 it is, chapter 13, verse 17. "And the daughters of God's people, which prophesy out of their own heart." And he's sending him to prophesy against them. Because I want you to get the hold of this. Here's what these daughters were doing. Verse 19. "And will ye pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread?" Watch the end of that verse. "By your lying to my people that hear your lies." You see, in these little colonies, in these concentration camps, there were false prophets prophesying to the people. And there will always be false prophets, no matter where we are. That we must watch. And they always do it for gain. And the land tonight is full. And this is the sort of thing they were saying. They were coming to these concentration camps and they were saying, "Look, the king is in Jerusalem. And he'll bring an army across that Syrian desert. And they'll set us free and they'll take us home. And our God will be glorified." Now let's get the hold of this. That while Ezekiel and now Daniel are in the land of captivity, there are two prophets back at home, if you like to call it that. Isaiah and Jeremiah. When we come to look at the prophets, there are four, what we call major prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. And they're only called major prophets because the books are big books. 48 chapters is quite a big book. Jeremiah's is a big book. Isaiah is a big book. Daniel not so big, but it's reckoned among the major prophets. And Jeremiah, you know, he had a vision back at home what was happening out there. Let's go to Jeremiah for a moment. Jeremiah, and we're at chapter 8. We'll sew it all together in a moment or two. Jeremiah chapter 8. And this is Jeremiah talking in verse 18. Chapter 8, verse 18. "When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country." He can hear this, he's a prophet. He can hear the cry of these people who are being falsely taught. "Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with their strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." This is the cry that was going up year after year for these 11 years because of these false prophets. They were coming to these colonies, to these concentration camps. They were saying, you know, in the summertime or in the harvest time, they'll bring an army across that Syrian desert and they'll set you free. And as the seasons went by each year, this was the cry that was out there. The harvest has passed. The summer has ended. They were not saved. They were being bluffed. This is the task that the prophet had. So I want you to get the hold of this. You see, he's going down to a people who are stiff-necked, who have got away from God, and who have false prophets among them. And he's got to stand up for God, and he's got to preach the truth. Let's go back to Ezekiel, and we're at chapter 3 again. Verse 4, and he said unto me, that is the Lord said unto him, Son of man, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. See verse 8. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. You see, this was how the task was to be done. He was to rely on the strength of the Lord. That's why his name is Ezekiel. Because God must be his strength. Because in this day and hour, when the day is far spent, if we're going to stand up for truth and there's going to be no compromise, and we're going to go where he wants us to go, and we're going to do what he wants us to do, and we're going to say what he wants us to say, and we're going to be what he wants us to be, then we'll need the strength of God Almighty to do it. We'll need to be back to Ezekiel again. Now, I want to say a word about the two prophets in the land. When Jerusalem was smitten the second time, and the captives were brought down, of course Daniel was brought. Now it's quite clear to all of us that when Daniel was brought to Babylon, maybe to nearby the river of Kebar, he was just a young boy. The scholars believe he may have been 16 years of age. Some think he was only 40. I don't think we can be sure. Let's say 16. But you'll find if you go to the book of Daniel that Daniel lived through the whole reign of Nebuchadnezzar. He saw him buried. And then he lived right through the whole reign of Belshazzar too. Because he was there when the writing was on the wall. And that night the king was slain. And he was there right through the whole reign of Darius. Because Darius exalted him. And you'll find this, that Daniel became the first president in the land. Don't make any mistakes about this. He was exalted and honored and set on high. He seemed to live his prophetic life in the limelight, on the center of the stage. While the other prophet, Ezekiel, was always in the wings. I will tell you about the two men. Their names end with E-L. Daniel means God is my judge. And although he was exalted, and although he was the first president in the land,
He did everything he had to do before God, his judge.
No wonder God used him.
God wanted the other fellow in the wings, in the shadows.
He needed strength for that. And God was his strength. I want you to get the hold of that.
He seemed to live his prophetic life in the limelight, on the center of the stage. While the other prophet, Ezekiel, was always in the wings.
I will tell you about the two men. Their names end with E-L. Daniel means God is my judge.
And although he was exalted, and although he was the first president in the land, he did everything he had to do before God, his judge.
No wonder God used him.
God wanted the other fellow in the wings, in the shadows.
He needed strength for that. And God was his strength. I want you to get the hold of that. Because that's very important, isn't it? I want you to get the hold of this, that from the dates we have in this prophecy of Ezekiel, and we'll come to them as we go through the chapters, that Ezekiel lived in the land 22 years, 11 have gone before Daniel comes. He was only 11 years in the land with Daniel. And they knew each other, because Daniel's name is mentioned in his book, time after time, or many times it's in the book. I don't think we'll take time to go through it now, but it's there, all right. Let's look at chapter 14 just for a moment, Ezekiel 14. Verse 12, the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. You see, he knew about Daniel. And you'll find as we go through the chapters that he refers to Daniel again and again. I want you to get that settled. You see, this is very important. Now, Daniel lived until he was 86. Because he lived the whole 70 years of the captivity, and if we're right in saying he was brought in as a captive when he's 16, then that makes him 86. And I think that the scholars would agree that Ezekiel, according to the dates, and we'll get them as we come to them, that he lived to about 46. I want you to get this, because this is very important. Now I want you to see where we're starting. You see, if you know the book of Daniel, it's got 12 chapters. Do you know that? Because one morning I was in a big hotel, and there was a lady there who was supposed to be a prophetic genius, and she started an argument with me, with all the other preachers around, and she said to me, I was reading in the 16th chapter of Daniel this morning. And I just closed the book like that, and I said, all right, if you were, then you know all about it.
And I rose and went away. And one of the old convention speakers came and said, Willie, that was dreadful, and you just walked away. Well, I said, if she was reading in the 16th chapter of Daniel and she's got four more chapters than I have, what's the use of me talking? She was only an old blather and she was just making things up, and I could see that the whole way through. Please don't do that. It's not right to even talk about God's word like that. Now, if you know Daniel, there are 16 chapters. There are 12 chapters. She's putting me crazy, isn't she? There are 12 chapters. I want you to get this. That you know, if you know that great second chapter, where the king had a dream, you remember the great image. And you remember how we looked at that one evening, and we could see the fourth metal, the iron, the clay, the tongues, the ten toes. We got down to that. And I believe that Daniel had a vision of the European Economic Community that we have now. And I believe if you go through the letter of Daniel, you will find that he can see almost everything that's appearing around us now. And then he comes to this man that I call the man of sin, of course. And he saw this United States of Europe, saw all these authorities that are there. Kings, they're called then. These ten toes, these ten kings. I want you to get that. Because this is what God wanted Daniel to do. Now, here's where we have missed out all our days. At the time, he was using Daniel, and he was revealing to Daniel, and therefore unto us, the things that are written for our learning, all about the common market and the man of sin and the end times. At the same psychological time, he was using Ezekiel to talk about the nations that are not in the common market. And you'll find they're all talked about in this book. Every one of them. Well, Egypt is not in it. Next week we're going to start with Egypt. And we're going to see what he said about Egypt's past, and you'll find if it was true, that has been fulfilled. But we'll do a little bit of it. You will find what he has to say about Egypt's present. And I've already written a book on Sadat, and we know a lot about the present of Egypt. But we shall see Egypt's future, and that's only a day or two away. Because God used Ezekiel to talk like that. Old fellow said to me just the other day, did the Lord Jesus ever say anything about Egypt? No. He said, I heard you say once that when a problem came up, you should go to the New Testament and see what Christ said about it. How is it that you write about Egypt and say things about Egypt, and our Lord Jesus never took the word Egypt once on his lips? And he never did. You can be quite sure about that. Never did. I said, you're jumping the gun a little bit, you know. There are three great factors that you've missed completely. And the first one is the Passover. Magnus Magnusson, the other week on the TV, said that Israel was never in Egypt at any time
This is what this old fellow was coming round to, of course. That's what he was getting round to. Oh, I'm afraid that the Jewish Passover proves that they were.
You don't tell me that the whole nation, high and low and learned and illiterate, all the Jews from every part of the world, and the one feast that means more to them than anything else is the Passover. And you know what it's all about, don't you? It's about the lamb being slain and the blood being applied to the lintel and the two side posts of the door. Yes, I think you know about that. I said, you know, I want to tell you this, that while our Lord Jesus didn't take the word Egypt on his lips, he went again and again and again to keep the Passover. And if it was a fast, and it had never been there, what's he doing there if he is God? Is he bluffing? And what you don't know, sir, is this, that when Paul is writing, he says, even Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us.
Oh no, we can't stand this clap clap. We are going to find out what this book says, what Ezekiel said about Egypt. And we're going to find out what Ezekiel said about Russia. Oh, yes, there is coming a day when the sovereign God will meet the Soviet Union. And God help them when it happens. Oh, yes, they say that Russia just came up within the last 200 or 300 years. It doesn't matter. Ezekiel saw it all. When we get it phrase by phrase, you'll be amazed. It is there. Yes, while Daniel was writing about the nations in the common market and the 10 toes and the man of sin, Ezekiel in the wings was writing about the nations that are not in the common market. And I'll tell you, there's a few more of them. But he went a bit further, you know. He not only talked about Egypt and Russia. You know, if you take our map today, and you take all the nations in the common market, and you take all the other big blocks just outside it, Russia and Egypt and the Arab states and a few more, you're going to find that Ezekiel was the prophet of God to let us see. One thing I must say, that nowhere in Daniel, nowhere in Ezekiel, is America mentioned. This has been said 1,000 times. At one of the big peace conferences in New York just a few weeks ago, a Russian who went there stood up and said, I want to tell this conference that the Russians will come one night and they'll blot America out from the face of the earth. And I believe they will. I don't think they're going to be in the yarn at all at the end. And when you take sin in this world, and every conceivable kind of iniquity, all the sins that would make you blush and close your eyes in shame, they began in America. And the things that's practiced there today just wouldn't bear telling in this meeting. I know God has his people there. And I know one of these nights Jesus will come. He'll take them out.
that the Russians will come. For the land. Oh, what a book we're venturing into. Stay with us. Follow it through. And God will bless you. Let's sing just one verse. 881, please. Now in a song of grateful praise for my dear Lord, my voice I raise. With all the saints I'll join to tell my Jesus has done all things well. Just the first verse, dear. Thank you. Come right up here and give us the Lord's blessing. Thank you. Thank you very much, Derek.
Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee that this evening this God of Ezekiel, who gave him strength to be faithful in the wings, is still our God and will give us strength. Father, we thank Thee that in these days when all sorts of things are happening and many saints are frightened, terrorism, sin, iniquity, evil, when men are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, when many of Thy people are going down into depression, when many of Thy people are sick in body and depressed, that Your strength is made perfect in weakness. And our Father, we thank Thee that as we look out into the future, James's little word is true. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Yes. Father, we thank Thee that this Old Testament, and especially this prophet, is not irrelevant to us. We thank Thee, Father, in the midst of a holiday period, that hundreds of people are gathered here tonight sucking honey from it.
Yes.
To get us through and to feed us, for these things were written for our learning. We thank Thee, Father, for Mr. Mullen here. Many and many a night we sat in these pews with broken hearts in deep valleys, and in those years You spoke to us and said, if He can do it for Willie, He can do it for you. We think of those nights, Lord, when You called us to Your work from these very pews. We had to hand in our resignation to the college in Lurgan and go out and preach the gospel, depending on You for every penny. Haven't been here for 6 years, Lord. You've never, ever failed me. The table has been spread. The family have been fed. We've been round the world twice with the gospel. And what God did for Willie, he's doing for us. We thank you, Lord, that young men are finding in this place that faithfulness in the preaching of the word is the answer to the church's need. When people are introducing all sorts of things, we thank thee that Brother Mullen has gone on 25 years of it, thick and thin, expounding the scripture. Lord, we don't know how he does it, but then we find out how he does it. It's the God of Ezekiel who's giving him strength. We don't want to exalt him, Lord, but we sure want to thank you for him and all that you've taught us in this place. We've come back tonight, Lord, and our hearts have been mightily touched. And we look forward to the future, and we look out over young men and women here in Lurgan tonight. So good to see them here. And Lord, maybe tonight you're calling another person. Maybe not to work out in public in the blaze like Daniel did, but some fellow or girl standing here in prayer tonight, and you want them to go to their village, or their town, or their street, or wherever their situation is. And Lord, you just want to use them to stand faithful and to represent the Lord Jesus right there. Maybe they're getting criticized and hammered. And Lord, we pray that from this class tonight they will learn that if God can take Daniel through and Ezekiel through and this class through and millions of thy people through, you'll take them through too. And Lord, we pray that even as this class now ventures on this unbelievable book, that Lord, right here in Lurgan, right here in this church, you'll send another mighty revival. Lord, there's not a man or woman here tonight who has owned the name of Christ but doesn't long that you would send us down, Lord, an almighty spiritual revival. When Christians are fighting and divided over petty things, the devil is going forward in strength. And Father, we pray that thou wilt raise up in these days men and women in this town and in our cities with a vision that God can visit us again in great blessing and save thousands again. Lord, is it too much to ask thee that right here, as week by week, these extracts are taken from Ezekiel, that you'll start to pour your blessing upon this assembly. That, Lord, the very place will not contain the people that will come. That it will spread out into the streets of Lurgan, and out into this town, and into the city of Craigavon, and out through the province, and into Erra, and over to Britain. And that, Lord, right from these Tuesday meetings, a great blessing will come. Lord, we have known nights when we were 15,000 miles from here in the east, in the heat of a stadium preaching the word, and we came home, and there were the young Irish missionaries listening to tapes from this place. And we wept as we heard our brother's voice far from home. These tapes will go out tonight, Lord, to places we have no notion of. Lord, bless them. For there's many a heart lives for the postman to come with the tapes from Lurgan. Lord, bless them. And bless thy people. And bless our brother. And we just praise thee for all that this place has meant to us. And Lord, we pray if you've done it for 25 years for him, take them through another 25, Lord, if it be your will. And help us as young men to take example and be faithful and go out into this country in these days and preach Christ and him crucified. Lord Jesus, be exalted in our midst. We love thee tonight because you have first loved us. Before we even thought of reaching up to you, Lord, you were reaching down to us. We just bow our heads in this place before we go away home and we worship. There's nobody like you, Lord. You're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we would say, as we have been inspired from this prophecy tonight, here is our prayer. Mine, mine, Lord, are the hands to do thy work. My feet shall run for thee. My lips shall spread the glorious news. Let us all pray, Lord, tonight. Lord, here am I, in all my sin and inconsistency, but saved and sanctified, set apart and justified and redeemed and empowered with the Spirit. Lord, here am I. Send me. And the people of God said a very hearty
Amen.
Amen.